For our passage this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we may become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
I titled today's message, Confirming Christ's Call. As noted in our text, every believer is called to works of service, or in our lingo, we might say, investments in the church body and getting God's ministry work done. But some, as noted in the text, including pastors, are called to a primary focus of preparing others for those works. So that's where we begin. I do note on the front end that the titles that Paul uses in his text aren't necessarily, especially the first several, aren't necessarily our common lingo. But I believe as I describe the way that those grace anointings function in the body of Christ, you might be able to think about leaders who you knew who functioned in one grace anointing versus another, whether we called them apostles or prophets or not. So after Paul's call to unity in the early verses of chapter 4, where he poetically notes that we are one body who share one hope and are empowered of one spirit, he affirms that when Jesus ascended on high, he apportioned to each of us the measure of grace we each need, to achieve our contribution to the unity that will impact the world as his good news of justice and mercy. It is he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. Any of you who thought you were hiring Steve to do the mission and ministry that God has in mind for Whitmer Heights, paying him so you can sit back and simply send tithe dollars as your primary part, would be selling yourself short and setting Pastor Steve up for burnout or despair. We are all called to tithe our income, but you are less today hiring Steve to do the ministry, more confirming God's call upon him to a role of equipping you for your works of service. And because you have called him to tasks that require a major investment of his time, you are honoring that call with the financial support he will need to fulfill God's call as today confirmed. So Christ gave one or more of the five unique gifts articulated here by Paul to those called to equip others. Each gift, grace gifting, has its inherent strengths. And were we doing a deeper teaching on this, I would also note each one has its natural inherent vulnerability. But we won't go there today. Leaders whose primary grace gifting equips them to function as did the New Testament apostles have the capacity to equip the other four grace anointings. Their primary focus, if you think about where they give their first and automatic concentration, their primary focus is on foundations. laying foundations for church plants or correcting foundations that need fixing for an existing body to thrive. By focusing on foundations, those who function as did the New Testament apostles, they equip and they empower the other four gifts such that the mission has its best impacts. Persons in the Mennonite church tradition who tend to be noted that they function in this way are often called out to serve as a bishop or a conference minister or some other such gifting that essentially equips and empowers other leaders to accomplish their calling. Leaders with the primary gifting as prophet have a unique capacity to hear from the Lord the current and unique word of the Lord for this day and in these circumstances. Their primary focus is not on foundations. Their primary focus is on what is God saying and who needs to hear it. When God first poured out in a new way, the last 30, 40 years, a renewal of the gift of prophet, there was a lot of damage done because persons only got the first part of that equation. What is God saying? And without prayerfully asking who needs to hear it, they broadcast it, whether the timing was right, whether the focus was right or not. It created a lot of damage in the body of Christ. But the damage does not diminish the value of this gifting when matured and welcomed and submitted to other leaders, enhancing a congregation's capacity to remain relevant, empowered by the wind of God's Spirit. Leaders with a strong evangelistic gifting focus on those outside the walls of the church, outside of the family of faith. When they preach to a local congregation, they're usually either trying to motivate the body to better reach those outside, or their message impacts their listeners as if they're actually preaching through the audience to their real audience who's out there. They best function, I believe, outside church leadership, at least church governance, because they tend to have an impatience with the nurturing aspect that pastors are called to. They're like, well, these people are already here. Focus on the people out there. So they best function, at least in congregations shaped by Mennonite culture and priorities, they best function outside the congregation. After our Reformation persecutions, our theological priorities became more congregationally focused, with our eventual mission passion having, at least initially, primarily a global focus, or when it was local, more on community service or justice-based ministries than on evangelism. But a congregation wanting to recapture the holistic gifts of the New Testament church will strengthen connection with a strong, trusted evangelist to help the body be stirred up about learning the art of testifying of Christ to those we know who don't yet know Him. In contrast, leaders with a grace gifting as pastors have as their primary focus the flock. They notice the health of the sheep, their fears, their strengths, their needs. They naturally help members get along and grow into maturity. Now, I do believe it's unfortunate that in the West, we've adopted this gifting as the title for those who lead us. Research shows that about 10% of the members in most church bodies have a shepherd pastor gifting. So if that's true at Whitmer Heights, 1 in 10 members here this morning, and I tend to think in Mennonite congregations it's a higher percentage, 1 in 10 members here this morning likely have this as their dominant grace gifting. the shepherding, the paying attention to the flock, the listening, the caring. The pastor does well in these settings to equip those persons as small group leaders in the congregation or in the community, leading AA meetings, scouts, cancer support groups, etc., etc., etc. Paul's final grace gifting listed is teaching. Leaders with this grace gifting have as their primary focus the written word. Not that all of us don't need, or we do, to have time in the written word. But a strong teacher gifting, that's the first place they go. To give immense time and energy to develop a teaching from the word that will be faithful to it and present it in a way that will help God's people, the listeners, respond to God's purposes. All of that to say this. Today I submit to you that at least within Western Mennonite culture, congregations best function when their primary leader operates from the grace giftings of shepherd, pastor, and teacher. And from my years of knowing Pastor Steve, I affirm that is precisely the gift mix Christ has given to Steve. It will serve you well. The second point we lift from our text is that every follower of Christ is called to, as I noted before, what is called works of service. It is Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So having confirmed that Christ calls leaders whose primary task in the local body is to prepare members for works of service, and having affirmed that the one you today confirm as your pastor has the gifts of pastor, shepherd, and teacher, let's now think a bit more about your role in the Whitmer Heights mission. Or if you're here as a guest, your role in the congregation where you're currently called to be part of that church family. When I accessed your webpage, I found these words in what I assume is your declared mission, and I was so glad they were the same ones as were projected on the wall. Well done in consistency. I'd have been in a real bind if you'd have projected something different, because I prepared accordingly. Here's what it said on your webpage. Figuring out together how to follow Jesus and make our community and the world a better place. These words are reflective of our best Anabaptist understandings. John 16 makes clear that one role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. The New Testament lays theological foundations for what we witness happened over the last 2,000 years of church history, namely that the fuller wisdom of God is progressive. It needs to be rooted solidly in Christ and always reflective of Christ and the New Testament foundations. But it expands through time to new applications. Study the immense debates and discussions about slavery or Sabbath or war or women, quoting the title of my spiritual advisor in seminary, Willard Swartley. So your mission recognizes that you want to remain relevant in articulating gospel in a world that is rapidly changing in its priorities and applications. And texts like Acts 15 to 20 give us guidance regarding how to figure out together what it means to best follow Jesus. Remaining relevant to God's intentions in our culture without, here's the inherent vulnerability, without being blown around by every wind of cultural doctrine. I personally believe these themes are more reflective of Anabaptist theology than the past centuries of Mennonite culture. But regardless, I affirm your mission statement. I affirm the aim to be figuring out together how to follow Jesus. Your statement has room in it for prayerful discernment, for deep listening to God, speak from His Word, and to speak through your brothers and sisters. It's rooted in a solid value of the written Word, passionate in connection to the incarnate Word. It has room even for openness to the Rhema Word, if you're determined as a congregation to learn that art. And the end focus of your statement affirms that the reason we do all this work is so we are effective at making our community and the world a better place. This reflects the love of God as articulated in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God gave. And honors the many calls throughout Scripture to love neighbor as self and steward wisely created earth. I assume the application of mission focus of your members will be broader than the church family. I believe in every church body, some are called to invest most fully their mission energies within the church family, but the kingdom of God best expands when each member embraces that our life 24/7 should be a witness for God, meaning some of the members here at Whitmer Heights will invest their primary life energies outside Whitmer Heights, and that too fulfills the church's mission. Now, having noted the biblical roots and the Anabaptist themes in your statement, let me also note that I believe it is always appropriate for a congregation to give a new leader the right to work with your leadership team and or your congregation to review, to potentially update, or refine the mission statement. Less to radically change priorities, since it is essentially the congregation's mission statement, but more to be certain that the words and the images resonate with the one you have confirmed God has called to serve that mission with the service of leadership. You want the one who is your primary articulator of God's mission to connect with the words. Since once we form and shape words, words form and shape us. Having said all that, here is now the application of the truth that every member in the body of Christ has a works of service that are uniquely yours to fulfill. Fulfilling gospel is not a spectator sport. God's intent is that all of us as members of the team have been given one or more of the spiritual gifts. Every believer has been given one or more of the spiritual gifts listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, with the intent of working together as we use those spiritual gifts within the congregation or the community till all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Clearly, that remains relevant until Christ returns. This business of working for maturity. I pray that by this stage of your life, you know what your role is in this kingdom mission And if you know your role, I pray you are consistently growing in your capacity through the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill that role. And if not, I pray you will passionately pursue that knowing and its fulfillment. There is little that is more rewarding than knowing you did your part in fulfilling a mission larger than your individual capacity. The final point in this confirming Christ's call, Ephesians 4 message, is to simply affirm that the goal of our calling is maturity in Christ. The past year, as pandemic and political polarities grew around and among us, many of us in the body of Christ have been humbled. These tensions exposed how much political pundits and media representatives influence even our truth definitions. It has magnified fissures in relationships. Too many of us have given primary loyalty to those outside forces, increasing suspicion of one another, instead of our ultimate loyalty being to Christ, who asks us to love one another, act in loving ways towards one another, even the enemy, and those who see matters through radically different eyes than we do. The goal that Paul articulates is that our speaking the truth in love will help us grow up into Him who is the head. That is, Christ. And it is as we reach unity in the faith. Unity in the faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature that we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, no longer tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there, by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, unquote. My prayer for you, as the Whitmer Heights congregation today, confirming God's call upon Brother Steve Musselman to serve as your pastor, and having confirmed that each of you are called to works of service in making your community and your world a better place, my prayer is that you will indeed, with great passion, grow into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Amen. Amen.